Hey everybody, welcome to episode 99 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I interview Hannah Anderson. Hannah is a graduate assistant in fitness at Indiana State. We talk about what it looks like to be a leader in fitness today, the impact that you may or may not know that you're having on your group fitness participants, and so many more awesome topics. We loved talking to Hannah, and we hope that you guys love this as much as we did. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hannah, hello. Welcome. We're so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so glad I was able to come.
So we connected, obviously, through fitness, and I think we'll probably talk about this, but that is hands down my favorite thing of fitness is the people it connects you to. And even though we've probably met in person like a handful of times, I feel like we're friends. And we just, you know, whoever it is in your network, and I think we met at, you know, a fitness conference specifically, it's just crazy how you just click with people. And that kind of leads us to having you on the episode today.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I remember meeting you last year at Midwest Fit Fest, and, you know, I was watching you, you know, do your Beachbody formats, and I can relate because that's where I started with my whole Group X journey, and I just love your passion and your energy. And then, well, the other great thing is social media. I mean, we can find each other. That I follow you on social media, not to sound like a creep, but I mean, I love your workouts. I love all your talks. You do your stories. And so that's what I really feel like I know you. Like, I was just watching your Instagram story and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this feels very natural.
Yeah. I feel the same way about your Instagram stories. Like, I was doing an Instagram story the other day and I was like, I sound like Katie. Cause you know, when you hear someone talk all the time, you then start to like kind of mimic them.
My biggest compliment is one of my surgeons at work started following me on Instagram, which I'm like work and like my work and this, like they're kind of separate, you know, I don't go around talking about stuff at work. And she follows my Instagram stories and thinks it's so funny. And she thinks that Joey's reaction to everything is like the funniest thing ever. I'm like, I just can't get over that. You follow me on Instagram stories. Mental note, pay attention.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's great. I love that's the plus side to social media, I think. And you're really good at the stories. Like, you're so natural. I wish I could just go on there and be so natural in what I have to say, but it never comes out like that. So.
Right. So let's just start with tell everyone about just kind of who you are and your journey into fitness and where you are today.
Sure. So I'm originally from Madison, Wisconsin. However, right now I'm living in Terre Haute, Indiana. Basically, I've always been into activity. I was a competitive dancer for about 10 years before in undergrad. And I've always loved being outdoors, running, movement. I think that my love for, or passion, I should say, for fitness really stemmed from a young age because I struggled a lot with anxiety. I would get panic attacks. I would work myself up over silly things that don't need to be worked up on. And I really found that the movement was something that eased my mind and it was just instant relief for me. Once I found that, it just really kind of exploded into a passion without me really realizing it. So I'm a big planner in life. All my friends make fun of my planners. But since I was 5 years old, thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher. So I signed up to go to UW-Whitewater. They've got a great teaching program, was all set. You know, finished my first semester, was, you know, feeling pretty good about classes. And then I went into a classroom over winter break and I was helping a teacher. And it just hit me. I was like, I don't think I can do this for the rest of my life. I have a huge passion or a huge love for teachers because it takes a massive amount of patience. Anyways, in the midst of that, because I wasn't on a dance team anymore, I missed that whole team atmosphere of being connected with others, the motivation. There's just something about it that gets me. And so I started attending group exercise classes at UW-Whitewater. I started with some turbo kicks, step. And all of a sudden, you know, I was a regular front row diva, whatever you want to call it. I was a regular. And they come up to me after, they're like, you know, we're hiring for group X instructors. And I was like, me? What? Are you sure? I don't know if that's a thing. Like, I'm going to be a teacher, but like not for group exercise, like an elementary school teacher. They're like, no, just come try, apply, you know, see what happens. And okay, I'll do it. So I went through the interview process. I got offered an interview and I auditioned and it went great. Then I got a Beachbody Turbo Kick certification. So Turbo Kick always has a special place in my heart. Started teaching, fell in love. It just exploded from there. I started teaching one format. Before you knew it, I was teaching almost everything on the schedule. I was a student manager. Realized that at the end of my undergraduate career, I didn't want my job to end. I really like working in campus recreation and the empowerment I have over students. So I realized that this can actually be a full-time gig. So that led me to Indiana State here in Terre Haute, which is where I am now, where I'm the graduate assistant of fitness, and I'm getting my master's in health science, where I'll graduate in May.
So was it hard for you to like officially shut the door on elementary education? And like, was there any ego in moving into fitness full time?
Oh, for sure. Like I said, I'm a huge planner. So, you know, spending my whole life thinking this is my, you know, I'm going to go to get my 4-year degree. I'm going to move back in Wisconsin. You know, I'm going to teach. Like that all just went out the window and I really did freak out. And you know, my parents are super supportive and I'm so blessed, but it's hard to explain being in the fitness industry to people. And I'm sure Katie, I mean, both of you can relate to it. They're like, you do what? And it's like, yeah, like it's not just teaching group fitness classes. Like it is so much more than that. And so for a while, I really struggled with that and feeling like I had to have this grand explanation of what I'm doing and trying to justify it when at the end of the day, it's my passion. And if you're doing what you love, it's not work. And you've got to go with your gut and what feels natural and what you naturally love.
Did you make that pivot after that semester that you realized? Or when did you, like, did you actually change your major? Because I know for me personally, or, you know, other students, they have that thought of, okay, well, maybe this isn't for me, but they try to kind of push that back and say, okay, well, I'm just going to tough out this semester. I'm just going to tough it out. And kind of, you almost feel like you have to give yourself these check marks, like, no, I can't do this. I can't give up. I'm a quitter. That right. Kind of idea.
You know, I did a little bit. It was going into my second semester. I was still technically an elementary education major. I was still taking those classes, but I knew deep down, this is when I started teaching and I just loved it. And I was really grateful. My supervisor at UW-Whitewater, she was really influential to me. I sat down and I talked with her and she was like, you know, like, you can change your major. Like you are not stuck. You're a freshman. Like there's time. And so I was really grateful to have her as a resource. She pointed me in the right direction, kind of got me to change my major into health communications, health promotions, and expanded me into different certifications I wasn't aware of, like more Beachbody formats and getting my ACE certification. And it just opened up a whole bunch of doors to me. And I just kind of, I had to go for it. I had to let myself be vulnerable and realize that pretty picture your plan isn't always going to work out the way you want. And sometimes that's a blessing.
Yeah. And then like looking back, I'm sure you're like, how old were you at that point? Like 19?
Yeah, so, I was.
Like you didn't know everything. Like your plan at 19 wasn't going to be your plan for life. Like
no.
At the moment though, it feels, because I'm a planner too, and my routes have been turned and all that. So I know that feeling, but it's like looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, duh, things are not going to go as planned because I'm just don't have all the information yet.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, everything happens in your life for a reason. People, events, they come into your life for a reason. I truly believe that. So I really believe that, you know, group fitness and exercise came into my life when I needed it. And I just like to provide that opportunity for others.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you love like the influence that you have over students. So what's like your favorite piece of that? Like, how do you feel like you're really influencing students even now at a GA?
Yeah. So, I mean, for most people or most students, when they come to college, this is the first time they are living outside of their house under their parents' roof, where their parents are dictating everything they eat, what they're doing, their activities. They're always reporting to someone. Now they're on their own. And that's, to me, a really crucial and important time in a student's life because they're going to be developing their habits for their lifestyle right there. Those first couple years, I mean, students are trying to figure a lot of things out in their life. And I like to create outlets. So I love fitness programming, wellness programming, giving them the education that they might not have had or been influenced to before. So I feel like I have that power to create inclusive group exercise programs, personal training programs, a safe space for them to come and be active, to meet other people who aren't in their major. I mean, that's the beautiful thing of the rec center. You know, you're not segregated by just business major, just elementary major. Everybody on campus can relate and can connect to fitness or movement in some way. So that's how I feel like I'm making an impact.
And there's just something about group fitness in a university that, like, it's just so awesome. It's probably just because everyone's young and, like, so much awesome energy, but
it's
just
magical.
Amazing.
It's seriously magical.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, the population, I mean, I've taught at other gyms, and it's not to say anything bad or negative about teaching at other gyms. They're great, but it is a different population. And it's just so high energy, and you know, students are often stressed, so it's a great stress reliever for them. You know, forget about all those homework, paper assignments. We're just coming in here for this hour, sweating it out. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely has more of the fun factor that I think we tend to forget about as we get older, or, you know, as we age in those different settings. Is those in the college range age, I think they mainly come because, yeah, they want to de-stress, they want to have fun.
Yes.
They're much more moldable, I guess you could say, in their ways.
Yeah, that's a good word. I like that. They are definitely moldable. They haven't been set in their ways just yet. So it's kind of cool. You can influence them.
So Hannah, we're talking about how this age group is so moldable and influential and really kind of redeveloping some of their habits. So what was your relationship like with food and exercise, you know, in your body growing up, more specifically before you started teaching, after you started teaching, and then now?
Yeah, it's definitely shifted and changed a lot. Being a dancer for my whole life, you're in front of mirrors constantly. You are in small outfits and costumes, and your body is supposed to manipulate and look a certain way. And I am thankful for dance, and I love everything that dance has taught me, but I really do, it made me struggle with my body image a lot. And especially when I stopped dancing, my body changed. It's not going to look the way that it did in high school or when, you know, your hormones aren't all stabilized quite yet. And so I struggled with it. I think my first couple years of college, I was very restrictive. I was, you know, I'm not dancing anymore and I have to work out and I have to run. Running, I thought, was like the only type of exercise for some reason on this earth, which is why I love group fitness, because you know, it opened me up to so many other ways, but I was very restrictive in what I can eat, how many times I have to work out, how much time I have to work out. And it was all about the look. Then I started teaching. And I mean, in the beginning, I probably still thought the same thing. However, over the years, it has completely shifted. When you're teaching a group exercise class, it is not about you. That is not your workout. That is all about your students and fostering to their needs. And instead of worrying about the looks, I started to notice how I felt. How did the movement, how did the exercise make me feel? How did I feel after teaching a group exercise class? How did I feel after taking an exercise class with others as a team? And once I started shifting that mindset, I noticed I was so much happier. The pressure was like off of my shoulders. I could have fun. It wasn't, oh, I have to go to the gym and run 5 miles today. It's okay. How is your body feeling? More specifically, what does your body need today? So it's definitely shifted. And I think naturally being in the fitness industry, you know, I'm not a registered dietitian by any means. Katie, I know you are, but you get exposed to the food. I mean, it's part of it. And so you become aware of what you're eating. And I learned from trial and error, restrictions are not the way. That just leads to binge eating and to not good things. So I got away from the restrictions and I totally allow myself to eat anything that I want, but in moderation. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so important too, the non-restrictive eating. I mean, duh, we talk about that all the time, but like when you're in the fitness industry and you're like, you're teaching a lot and you're doing your own workout, it's like, if you have the restrictive mindset and you're very active, like that can be a recipe for disaster, really.
And I don't know if you guys can relate, but for me, I know when I first started teaching, I tried telling myself, okay, you need to get your own workouts in, right? You hear that a lot. I preach that to instructors too, is that, you know, it's about them. It's not about you. So I remember when I first heard that, it was, okay, so I need to do my own workouts on top and I need to beat myself up. And then on top of that, with that restrictive mindset, overtraining, overexercising, but almost lying to yourself with that. Well, I'm doing this for me. you know, and this is the healthy thing. And it's so easy to get in that cycle. I don't know if you experienced that as well.
Yes, I definitely did. And I think you talked about this in a previous podcast and I could relate immensely. I would do the same thing. Well, it's not my workout. So this morning I need to go for a run and then I need to go lift weights and then teach my class. Okay, but is that really healthy for my body? How does that really make me feel? Actually, it made me feel really exhausted, really overtired and overtrained. Not to say I don't still do my own workouts, because I do, but there's plenty of days where I'm like, okay, that boot camp that I just taught, that was a workout and I feel good after that and I don't need to do anything else. So again, all just coming back to how do I feel? Not having any restrictions or any specifications, just listening to my body's natural cues.
Yeah. Great points. And I think sometimes, like you said, like if you know, normally your triple kick class doesn't whip your butt, which probably is not the case.
It did. It probably does today. Whip your butt.
But yeah, like I always loved like when I was teaching a lot, you know, every day or something, like using that, your teaching schedule to your advantage. So like maybe this was more of your active recovery day because you were teaching, but the class wasn't terribly hard in your body, but you use that as like a, like I said, active recovery. So I think it's hard because I do believe in like, it's not your workout, but it can be your workout. It just kind of depends.
It does. I would agree.
I definitely, this is a side note. I was actually talking to an instructor today who is out for the week because she took on all these classes and obviously wasn't, you know, doing enough of not her workout. And now she has this huge injury and she's out for a week and who knows how long. And so that piece of not overtraining, gosh, it's huge.
Yeah. Especially when you kind of like love working out. It's not always like ill meant. It's not always like some unhealthy chasing of some body or something. Like sometimes it's just like you're a little too into it.
Yes. Yep. And I've been there. I will say I've been on both ends of the spectrum. So.
Yeah.
So while managing, because at your fitness center now, you are in charge of instructors, in charge of trainers. Do you see some of this in your instructors? Because they're kind of, I mean, you've been in their shoes and how do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have. I would say though, most of my instructors are pretty good about it. However, if I do notice it, I'm not afraid to have a conversation with them because it was a conversation that my supervisor, my undergrad, had with me. And it stung at first. You know, she told me, she was like, you are working out too much. You are going to these classes and you're teaching these classes and then I see you running at night. You know, she's like, I'm concerned for you. And at first I was like, well, I have to be so fit because I have to be able to teach these classes and keep up. And so when I see that, I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to, you know, point fingers. I just simply pull them aside and have a private conversation. And I ask about their workout habits, their patterns, and they're pretty open with me. And if it happens, you know, I try and share my experience with them and I try and see where they're coming from. For some, it's completely different. You know, they're just weight training or lifting in the morning, but they're teaching, you know, a cardio-based class at night. So that's, it works for them and that's great. However, if I'm seeing this continual pattern of them taking a million classes and working out, I'll just have that conversation with them and explain my worries and my fears for them and hopefully help them find that healthy relationship again.
Yeah, that's awesome that you had a supervisor that had that tough conversation with you. Because I think it's so easy to just say, oh, they know what they're doing, or oh, it's probably not as bad as I think. You know, we're talking about such a young age, you know, of being in college. And so I think it's really important that you have someone in your life that is just one step removed and is able to kind of see it and say, hey, like just checking in, how are you? Are you training too much? Because once you ask that question, the person can kind of like think about it and they might be defensive maybe, but they'll think about it. And I think they'd probably come to their own conclusion without like you said, without being like really judgmental. They'll just see it for what it is.
Yeah. You know, even if it's just planting that seed to get them thinking about it or noticing their habits. I mean, after a while, it can just become such a habit that they don't recognize what they're doing anymore. And it takes someone to just say something up to them to make them realize it. So I think that's an important conversation to have, especially with college students.
Do you have any advice for someone listening who maybe they're not in the fitness space per se, but they have a friend or a coworker or a family member who they feel like maybe taking it to the extreme? Like, how do you even bring up that conversation?
Yeah, I think it's a very delicate conversation to bring up. I think that you need to be very careful and private about it. It could embarrass them. So, and not point fingers either. You know, you're not going to come out and say, hey, you're overexercising. You know, that's going to put them right. That's going to put them back into their shell. I think it's just a, hey, what are you doing with your workouts every day? I mean, I've just kind of noticed like, you may need to be spending a lot of time at the gym. You know, maybe you'll realize they're training for a special event. Maybe they're marathon training, you know, in that case. You didn't know that. Just have a conversation with them and just tell them, you know, hey, I'm just noticing that you're, you know, doing a lot of exercising. And I just want to make sure that you're being healthy to your body and you're not overtraining. But just don't point fingers and just feel it out, I think, is the most important thing. Because like I said, there could be an underlying reason that you don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
So you made a big change in your major introductory when you were an undergrad. So your instructors, I'm sure not all of them are necessarily intending to do fitness full time. So what advice would you give like an instructor who all of a sudden comes to this realization like, oh, I think I might want to do this long term. What advice would you have for them to like to make that shift or to even like investigate doing that?
Yeah, definitely. My advice is to follow your gut and your passion. I'm a very big quotes person, and there's a quote that I really live by, and I really believe in it, and it's the things you're passionate about, they're not random, they're your calling. So if it's something that you truly like, it's not random, it's something you're passionate about, and you just got to make that shift. I think the hardest and the scariest part is that, you know, pre-contemplation, you know, when you're just on the edge, you know, your gut knows. As much as we like to think that it doesn't, your gut knows what it's feeling, and once you make that shift, you just got to go with it. And you have to remember that you can always make a change again. You're not a tree. You're not rooted into the ground. There's always that flexibility to move where you need to go. And another quote, because I'm a quote person, I always love is do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's something I always think about. You know, when I go to work every day, I don't feel like I'm going to work. I love what I do. And time again, I hear stories of people like, oh, I've got to go to work again. Like, this is miserable. And it's like, life is so short. Why would you want to live a life like that? And if you know at a young age that, you know, you've got a passion for something, follow it. And like I said, you always have the ability to make that change again, but you're going to regret not exploring it.
Yeah. And college is such a good time for that. And even just like the first 10 years out of college, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's always a good time. It's always a good time. I could probably think of a reason that it's always a good time. So someone needs a reason. Yeah. They should just do it now. But I love that quote on that, like your interests and your passions aren't random. Because I think so much of the time it feels so random. You're like, oh, I love this and this and this. And it doesn't come together as much as you'd want it to. But we're all like that. That is like the case for everyone. And that is what makes us all unique and what makes us special and what we bring to the table is that we all have a different combination of passions.
Yeah. And I mean, well, it's great that what I love all of my instructors to, you know, be in the same major as me and pursue everything. Yeah. But at the end of the day, actually most of my instructors are not in that major and they make some of the best instructors. So I think that's a cool, everyone's so unique and they have something different that they bring based on their background or their schooling. So I also think that's cool. I personally like having a diverse group of instructors who all have different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have heard this quote too, or I don't know if it's quote, whatever, but stop saying this little thing, or I just teach fitness on the side, or, you know, whatever it is that you are passionate about, like belittling it. We're so guilty of saying, oh, I just teach a couple fitness classes a week, or, you know, oh, I just have this little side business. And like, it's not little, it's mm-hmm. a big deal. And you change lives, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, I struggled with that for a long time and being like, yeah, like it's just this. And people, you know, sometimes get that stigma like, oh, you're just a fitness instructor. Like, no, I am more than a fitness instructor.
Yeah. Or just explaining like what that means. Because if you say, oh, yeah, I'm just like a fitness instructor, they just think, oh, that must not be a big deal because that's the way you're like making it sound. So just yeah. I think even explaining and shedding some light, like you said, like some people might. People definitely don't know what a GA is unless you're in that world. So like explaining like, okay, what do you do? Like that. Yeah. Which I honestly, that's probably a good point. Cause I'm, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners that are like love fitness, but don't necessarily like are in the fitness industry. So explain to us what we know what a GA is, but explain to us what a GA is.
Sure. Yeah. So GA is short for graduate assistant. So you interview, you can, it depends on the school. Not all schools offer them. Unfortunately, Wisconsin is not one of them, but you have the opportunity to, there's different areas. So in my specific range, I'm the graduate assistant under campus recreation for fitness. In my specific department, there's five of us total. So there's one under aquatics and safety. There's one under membership, intramurals and club sports. So we all kind of work together cohesively. So basically, they cover my tuition, so I'm able to get my master's degree paid for, but I'm also gaining that professional experience. So under my direct supervisor, it works out and aligns with my goals as I want to be a fitness director on a college campus. I'm working directly under a fitness director, and she's basically giving me experience doing what she's doing before I'm actually fully charged. So I am in charge of our fitness floor, which includes all of our equipment and our fitness specialists. I help manage our group exercise program with our group exercise classes and schedule, and then also our personal training and small group training programs, as well as fitness and wellness events throughout campus. So I am a supervisor to many students and undergrads, also some grad students, which has been challenging, you know, being a supervisor of someone who's the same age as you, but it's giving me all that professional experience. I'm working with other professional staff members. I'm working across campus, and it's giving me that experience before I'm actually graduating in May and going into the real world alone.
Yeah. So what is your goal or like dream goal of where you are next? So you want to be a director, you want to be like leading the fitness department at a university, but what's the ideal situation?
Sure. Yeah. This is a great question. Everyone asks. ideally, I'd want to stay in campus recreation, and I'd like to be a fitness coordinator, assistant director. I really want to work with students, and I have a passion for group apps. That's where my passion lies. I like personal training and small group training, but definitely have my biggest passion in the group exercise. I love that big group exercise feel, the energy that comes along with it. So ideally, that's where I'd like to be. Long-term goals, I would definitely like to open up my own boutique studio at some point in time. Like I said, group X is my passion. I couldn't tell you what I want it to be yet, but that's definitely on my list of goals eventually.
Yeah, we can relate.
You and us both.
Ours is kind of a joke because it's not a joke, but
Excuse me?
It's only like a slight joke to me, but it's very serious for Katie. But we like will keep adding on services to like this. Yes. Like it's going to be like this multifaceted situation. I'm sure that's how it is for you because you want to mold all your passions.
Yes. And actually one of my best friends who was an instructor with me at Whitewater, she's an ecologist. And so not fitness related at all, but she loves teaching and she's a great group back instructor. And so we just keep making these wild concoctions of like the studio, and then it has an ecology part, and then a coffee shop, and you need a massage, and then like we can go explore animals and go on nature walk. Like it's just this whole thing. Yes. So I can totally.
Yes. I love that. You're onto
something.
I love
that idea. Like there's like a pet store. We don't buy the pets. You just go in there and like play with them.
Puppy therapy.
Yeah. Yes.
Pet therapy.
I love it.
That's awesome. You talked earlier about creating that safe space for your students specifically, you know, in that campus rec setting. So how can fitness instructors create a safe space for people to, you know, enjoy fitness and really find that joyful movement without getting sucked into the obsessive and compulsive and restrictive behaviors?
I really believe in encouraging the fun aspect of fitness. And whether you know it or not, being a fitness instructor, you are automatically put in a leadership role. Everyone that is coming to your class is looking to you. And you really need to be mindful of your verbiage and the words that you say. And this is something I am still working on as a fitness instructor personally. You know, avoiding phrases such as, you need to do 50 burpees to make up for all those cookies you ate last weekend. Or, you know, looking at the negative self-talk, like, all right, let's tighten those arms up. You know, it's just little verbs like that, that your students are going to pick up on. So changing that mindset, incorporating positive body image in the team atmosphere. I, you know, usually throughout my class, after we do a set, I say, walk around, high five your neighbor, tell them why they rock, why they're awesome, tell them why you're here today. You know, building that community aspect of it, or focusing on something that you love about your body. So often we fixate on, well, we have to tighten those abs because we need to look good in our bikinis. Well, no, it's not just about that. Let's think about how strong we can be so that we can carry our groceries up our 7 flights of stairs. So just being mindful, I think, at the way that you present yourself, but also I would say being mindful at your own, how you present yourself outside of when you're teaching. So one of the reasons I really like following you, Katie, is you're a real person. Like, I think so often people think that group exercise instructors are just like untouchable. Like, we only eat salads and carrots all day long and we work out every single day. And that's just not the case. So like showing like, hey, I'm eating chocolate. Like, yeah, it's normal. Yeah, I'm eating a pizza because I wanted it. Or, hey, I didn't work out today. And that's okay, because they're looking to you as that example.
This makes me so happy that you are instilling this in your students, your instructors, because there's so much out there in the fitness industry that these fitness experts are eating just broccoli and chicken and very restrictive and regimented and, you know, not showing that side of the binge if they have a binge and, and being real. And like you said, I think it shows, you know, yes, I'm in this leadership role, but I'm human. You know, we're all going through the same issues and struggles with our bodies and food and all that whole aspect of it.
Yeah. And I was doing like an at-home workout the other day, and it was driving me nuts that like they were talking about like nobody wants flabby arms. And even though this workout isn't even that old, I'm just shocked that like that's even like a thing still. But I was thinking, like, business idea for anybody out there of creating like one of those like on-demand fitness things online, but it's like all like super motivational and know what we're talking about. It's all like body positive instead of body negative.
Yeah. I mean, people idolize those things, you know, and that's what I think really leads them into those restrictive patterns. We have the power to take that away. Why shouldn't?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's so much more prevalent to have like that body positive talk during at a campus than it is outside, because it's like when we were in like the Purdue bubble, we would hardly ever hear people talk about the motivation to work out being all about losing weight. Like, it was a lot more about the fun and about the mental benefits. But then as soon as you got out of college, it was like you start to feel that pressure of like,
I took a class 2 weeks ago with my sister, and the instructor, I wanted to just like rip the mic off her head and cry a little bit, because she literally, I can't remember her exact verbiage, but she basically created this mental picture of doing these clamshells. You're literally chiseling away your butt. You're chiseling away your hips. Like, with each clamshell, you're chiseling away. And I just imagine like people get it, all these women in there, they were particularly young women too, getting sucked into that. Okay, I'm just going to chisel away. And if I just keep doing this, it's gone. And it irked me so much. So yeah. I'm happy for what you're doing.
I definitely think it's really important.
All right. So last question for you, what's the best thing that's happened to you this week?
Well, you're looking right at it. I actually got really excited to put up my little Charlie Brown Christmas tree and decorate it because it just makes me happy. And then I got to have my first cup of hot chocolate of the season, which I absolutely love. So I'm just happy to be in the holiday spirit, as cheesy as that might sound. And I get to go home at the end of the week to spend some time with my family. So I'm looking forward to some home time.
Oh, that's great. And I just bought peppermint mocha coffee creamer. So I am on the same page with you. I am right there with you.
I'm still finishing up this pumpkin spice cold brew that I brought. But once I'm done, I'm on that holiday board. Don't worry. Don't worry, ladies. I'm coming.
Yeah, it's funny because me and my coworkers, like the minute after Thanksgiving or after Halloween, we've got the holiday music playing. Your students are like, really? We're like, yep. You're coming in our office. You're the Christmas tune, so get used to it.
Especially at work, because, you know, like the students will be gone way before Christmas, or not maybe way before, but they'll be gone before Christmas. So you want to get it in there.
Exactly. That was my thinking too. I'm like, well, I'm only really here for like half of the summer. So like, I got to make the most of this little Charlie Brown Christmas tree and make sure it gets its use.
Warning everybody who's coming to Hannah's classes for the next month. She will only be playing Christmas playlists. Sorry, not sorry. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and sharing your story. You know, I get excited when we interview people and they share their stories, because I think there's so much that we can learn from each other and in the journeys. And it just goes to show how many of us, while we're on different paths, we're on the same path and can share a lot and learn a lot from each other. If our listeners want to find you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Oh boy. Probably email. I check my email all the time. And that is HAnderson18@sycamores, which is a long word, sycamores.indstate.edu. So if you can remember that and then you can type it in to find me, go you.
If you get an email, that person is committed. But we will put it in the show notes, so it'll be a little bit easier for them, but I love that. All right, bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening to this episode. We loved talking to Hannah, and we hope that you guys loved learning about her. Don't forget that we are doing a giveaway right now. We will be giving away one subscription box to Sparkle Hustle Grow. It's amazing. Go check it out. To enter, write us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and join our brand new Facebook group. It's called Fit Friends Tribe. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.